Hallelujah. So this is actually part three of this current series. As I said, I think we've been planning for this to be a six-part series. End games for the end times. The title actually of this part three is Apostolic versus Pastoral. Apostolic versus Pastoral. That may become clearer. It might not as we move on. Hallelujah. End game is defined as the stage of a chess game when few pieces remain on, or better, better applies probably to what we're looking at right now, as the final stage of some action or process. End times, again, dictionary definition, is the period leading up to Judgment Day, the times leading up to the end of the world, as foretold in the Word of God and the Christian Scriptures. So just to clarify, folks, the end times, now we know, it's, again, things are really beginning to stir in the church, and there's a whole lot of prophetic input coming from all different directions, but just to clarify, the end times, or the last days, according to Scripture, are the period between the cross and the climax of this age and the end of time as we know it. So the only thing that we can actually be sure and certain of in regard to where we are on that clock is that we are nearer to the end right now than when we first believed.
Yeah.
That's what the Scripture gives us. Amen. That's the latitude Scripture gives us. So our end game for the end times is always to continue in obedience to the last instruction we received.
Yeah.
Which is to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then, say then,
amen,
and then the end will come. Now we need to remember, folks, the message that we are called and commissioned to preach is always a positive message.
That's
right. Sometimes it doesn't sound that way, the way it comes at you sometimes, but from certain sectors, but I'll tell you what, the message we are called and commissioned to preach in the world is always a positive message, because at the cross, Jesus turned every negative into a positive. And that's why we should always believe for the best. As I've said over the past couple of weeks, we should also always be ready and equipped to help deal with the worst. Hey, look around you, some of the worst is happening all around us. And we should be ready and equipped to help with the worst, but always believe for the best. God is not willing that any should perish. That's the best. That's the best He's believing for. So I choose to align my belief with His belief, with the statement of His will and purpose, which is that none perish. So I'm going to believe that none perish. Hallelujah. On my watch. Amen.
Yeah.
So in part one, if you remember, we looked at, the title was Apocalypse Then and Now. The most catastrophic event that ever took place in the world took place at the very beginning, when man fell. In part two, we looked at, last time we looked at Pentecostal power, and so this time in part three we're looking at apostolic versus pastoral. Now, as you know, most of you are aware, I received two very strategic directional words from the Lord a number of years ago regarding, number one, relaunching the church on the right side of Pentecost, and number two, rebuilding the church from the ground up. Last time we looked at Pentecostal power, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I believe there's been a lot of misunderstanding in the church as regarding the structure and the function of the church. And the pastoral model for church really has become the traditionally accepted standard. But the model for the New Testament church, as presented in Scripture, is not pastoral, but apostolic.
Yes, amen.
And so in the title of this message, I have placed apostolic before pastoral, because that's the right order. And let me just say here that the pastoral ministry, it's not about cancelling out pastoral ministry, of course not, but the pastoral ministry should be raised up within the context of a church that has been established apostolically and prophetically. But because there's been a lack of apostolic prophetic ministry, a pastoral model for church has developed that really, to be honest, is not really very well equipped to fulfill the commission that it's been entrusted with. And it's not really well equipped to remain focused on the Father's end game for the end times. That pastoral church model, it kind of tends to be centered on doing everything that it can to draw people to a building to attend their services. But that model very often produces little more than a group of people who very often just get shuffled from one church or movement to another. Sideways growth, where one local church grows while others around it shrink. While one movement grows and another movement shrinks. That's not all that happens. Very often the pastoral model for church will make a lot of new converts along the way, but it will generally fail to produce many disciples. So make a lot of converts, but fail to produce many disciples. Pastoral or pastorally built churches will usually are generally focused on maintenance more than mission. They'll try to provide a specific ministry that caters to every section of the church in order to make them feel more comfortable. A pastorally built church will do almost everything for its members, and as a result of that, it will smother their individual calling and gifting. Who knows, parents who do everything for their children throughout their developmental years create spoiled children. Spoiled, according to the dictionary, is defined as harming the character of a child by being too lenient or indulgent. And who knows, spoiled children usually become spoiled adults. And that's why we need apostolic ministry that brings structure and order to the church and sets in place the framework that will help people to grow and mature. What's this year about, folks? This year when Eagle Soars about growing into the place of maturity. Helps people to grow and mature and fulfill their calling. And as I've been meditating on this over the past week or so, and we've come up with some things, and this is a couple of them. The pastoral model smothers. The apostolic model mothers. The pastoral, I'll give you scripture for a minute. Yeah, you always want scripture for it, right? Quite right. The pastoral model gathers. The apostolic model fathers. Good parents don't spoil their children. I said good parents don't spoil their children. If there's ever been a good parent, it's their Father in heaven. I'll tell you, he does not spoil his children. By being overly indulgent. Now when you're being spoiled, it might feel quite nice, but it wrecks you for real life. See, a father and a mother's role is to provide leadership by example in a loving and safe environment where the next generation can be nurtured and trained up and where they can grow to maturity and then launch out prepared and equipped to be the fathers and the mothers of the next generation. That's true in the natural. That should also be true in the spiritual. That should be true in the church. 1 Thessalonians, I said I'd give you some scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from it. I think he's trying to tell us there that flattering words can be a cloak for covetousness. Watch out that flattering words aren't drawing you to a person rather than pointing you to Jesus. I tell you, flattering words wouldn't usually point you to Jesus. Somebody needs a bit, something a bit more stronger than that. Somebody help me. I'm not talking about lack of encouragement here. I'm just talking about sometimes we'd be encouraged to get our eyes off ourselves and onto Jesus. Nor did we, verse 6, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles, as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Somebody help me here, come on. The pastoral model smothers, the apostolic model mothers. Verse 8, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labour and toil, for labouring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father, say father, as a father does his own children. The pastoral model gathers, the apostolic model fathers. And he said, listen to this, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You know, the word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos. It simply means a sent one, it means a delegate or an ambassador. The verb for that is apostello, which means to set apart or to send out. But the use of that term, apostolos, in classical Greek, if we actually go back and look at it, how it was applied, how it was used in classical Greek, it can help us to get a better understanding of why it's used in Scripture, and in the context, apparently, of Roman colonial expansion and that spread of the Roman Empire, this term was used to refer to the commander of a naval expedition who was sent out to establish a new colony. And in a secondary sense, it was also applied to the whole fleet and to the colony, which was then founded by that commander. So the Holy Spirit chose to lift that term from its classical context and employ it or use it in Scripture to describe for us both the nature and the function of the apostolic. The apostle sent from God, his primary function is to plant the colony of heaven on earth, to colonize the earth for the kingdom. Now that includes, but it's also way bigger than just planting new churches. That's part of it, but it has more to do with the increase of the kingdom in regards to both quality and quantity. This is something else that came up with just over the last couple of days. The pastorally focused church is sentimental. The apostolically focused church is governmental. Is that ringing any bells for anybody?
Oh, yes.
In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, it is prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ that of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. So as long as we are here as the church, we are responsible for ensuring the advancement of his kingdom and the increase of his government and peace. It's never time to batten down the hatches and get ready for departure, folks. Our only commission is to ensure the advancement of his kingdom and the increase of his government and peace. Now, time as we know it may come to an end, but the increase of his government and peace will never end. There will never be an end to that. I want to tell you, time as we know it will come to an end, but of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. See, where his government increases, there's an increase of peace. That's the Hebrew word shalom. That's the word that he proclaims and declares us. There will be an increase of nothing missing and nothing broken.
Yes, amen.
Things that have been missing are restored, and things that have been broken are repaired or replaced. And thank God in the kingdom, it's always new for old.
Yes.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. And the new has come. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you think I've got this message out of some Christian bestseller or something, I'm going to tell you, I got this from the throne of God. I got this message from the throne room. Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we could say that our end game for the end times is the increase of his government and peace. Our apostolic role and function is to establish people in the reality of Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that says, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Feel free, go up and dance. Kingdom of God, where the kingdom of God is established, there is established in righteousness, establishes people in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Establishing people in their new identity as the righteousness of God in Christ. I remember sharing this one time with his brother, coming to me, he said, I never heard anything like that before. He'd even been to Bible school, and he said, I've never heard that before, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And it's fundamental, it's the foundation that ensures a constant and consistent state of peace in your life, that causes you to maintain a continuous flow of joy in your life. I never heard that before. I said, well, that should alarm you. That should open your eyes to something. Mm-hmm. Let me say this, although not everyone in the church is an apostle, the whole church should be apostolic. Yeah. I'm not talking about the Robin Easy, you understand that? Yeah. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, I remember talking to a local pastor one day a few years ago. We met together at a social function of some kind on a Saturday, and he says, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I says, well, I'm actually, we're doing a series at the moment, it's called Acts 2:42, The Church by Intelligent Design. And he looked at me, his eyes went a bit crossed, and he went, oh, hi. he's a good guy, a good pastor. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm actually going through Proverbs with my people at the moment. I said, well, that's great, fantastic. Hallelujah. Let me around for that series. 10 old days, I probably. Remember the original classical usage of apostolos? It speaks of both leadership, the commander, and the corporate group, the fleet, and the colonists. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's no such thing as apostles anymore. Well, Jesus is the apostle. But there are still our people. Paul never said, he never called himself the Apostle Paul. The church started calling him that, setting him apart, you know, setting him up as some kind of dude that was way beyond the reach of anybody else. I mean, and rightly so, to honor Paul. I tell you, man, what a guy. But he never once said, I'm the Apostle Paul. He said, Paul and Apostle. Jesus is the Apostle, but there's still plenty of scope in the church for someone who's an Apostle. It's got nothing to do with some. And anybody who thinks that it makes him Superman and he's super dude in the top of the tree and every point and cuss everybody else and shout orders and expect everyone else to go down and lick his boots, I tell you, he has not read the credentials. He's missing it somewhere. Somebody who claims to be the apostle of anything is missing it somewhere, because, but you need to know that. Well, I'll say it now, I won't say that. Paul always had an apostolic team that travelled with him. And in an apostolically built church, there will be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But all of these will be apostolic in their vision and in their outlook.
That's right.
And here we are, folks, 26 years down the road, and glory to God, and most people can say, well, what's going on? I tell you, already there's a church that's coming up for nearly 10 years old, glory to God, been planted out from this church. Well, yeah. Somebody went out from here and out to Tain, glory to God, that work is growing. Someone went out from Tain up to Caith Ness. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Give the Father honour. He's worthy. It might not be happening according to the pastoral model, but it's happening according to the apostolic model.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which I believe is the scriptural model.
Mm-hmm.
But But since I discovered that the original usage of apostolos was actually in a naval context, then I figured that possibly a good analogy to help us understand the difference between the pastoral model for church and the apostolic model would be the difference between a cruise ship and a battleship. So I've been kind of meditating that over the last week or so. And I've come up with a few comparisons, and I hope these comparisons will be helpful in delivering us from some of the faulty mindsets that have hindered our maturity and hindered our progress. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Yeah.
You see, although the correct order should have the apostolic preceding the pastoral, then I've decided that because the pastoral model has become the accepted standard, that in this analogy, and it's only an analogy, you can only stretch an analogy so far, we know that, but in this analogy we will put it first, the pastoral first, in the hope, that likening the pastoral to the cruise ship. So we'll put cruise ship before battleship, in the hope that in highlighting the wrong order, we can then adjust our mindsets and restore the correct order. As I said before, we're not in any way cancelling out, we're not in any way minimising the importance and the absolute validity of pastoral ministry, not at all. We're simply restoring the correct order, which is a function of the apostolic, because the apostolic always comes to restore order. I think it was Titus Paul wrote, he said, "I left you there to restore order in that place." Hallelujah. Appoint elders and bring order there. Hallelujah. It's important that we point out that when you encounter something that is out of order and begin to address it, who knows, you can encounter a lot of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like change.
No.
People in the church don't like change. You might be sitting here this morning, you won't like what you hear. Well, glory to God, get ready. Get ready for change. God's heart for every one of us is always change. Jesus came so that we could be changed. So the pastoral versus apostolic, cruise ship versus battleship. The cruise ship, on a cruise ship, everything is provided for personal leisure and pleasure. It's becoming really popular, cruising these days.
Yeah.
We were at the airport last week, going off to Edinburgh, and we met some folks that we know, and they were just heading off on a cruise. Lots of people that we know go off on cruises, and we actually aspire to maybe getting one day ourselves. Apart from that, of course, on the Minch, that's when you meet apostolic credentials out there. Crossing that thing. Apparently, in one of these big cruise ships, you don't feel it quite that. That Minch is one of the most feared stretches of water and among sailors, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it's on par with the Bay of Biscay, man. On a cruise ship, everything is provided for personal leisure and pleasure. But on a battleship, everything is provided for corporate uniting and fighting.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to try and clarify some things as we go along here this morning. When I say battleship, I'm referring to the fact that we are the Kingdom of Heaven's big guns.
Yeah.
We are the Kingdom of Heaven's nuclear deterrent.
Yeah.
A nuclear deterrent, is defined as a thing that discourages or is intended to discourage someone from doing something, or it can refer to a nuclear weapon or weapon system regarded as deterring an enemy from attack. Lorraine brought us a great word a few weeks ago on a Sunday night. If you're missing Sunday night messages, well, you're really missing something. On nuclear prayer. Amen. So when the enemy begins his threatenings, when he starts to make advances, we move in and we position ourselves against him. Because he needs to be reminded of our firepower. The apostolically built church is secure in its identity, and it knows the authority that it has been given.
Yeah.
Who knows when there's rumblings of conflict in the world? I mean, I remember what was that whole thing about North Korea recently, and then of course you hear the Americans all of a sudden they're positioning their warships out there. So an aircraft carrier moves into the region, or down there in the Middle East, the same thing happens. If there's rumblings of conflict, with the superpowers, they move there. Come on, somebody help me. They move one of their fully armed warships into possession, and they stay there nearby in readiness for any necessary action that has to be taken. It's the same with us. Let me just say this as well this morning. Let's say it's Father's Day, come on. Apostles are fathers. See, when a child has no parents, there's certain things that that child will never receive. Even from other adults, even like care workers or teachers or foster parents or anything else, there's some things that that child will never receive in the absence of its natural parents.
Yes.
That's why some children who've even been adopted and grown up in happy households are still as a longing in them to find their natural parents, to discover their roots, because they know they're lacking some sense of identity. Come on, somebody. When fathers or apostles, because a father imparts identity, he imparts courage and security and discipline and blessing to a child. And so when fathers and when apostles are missing from the body of Christ, the body is very often missing identity, blessing, and a lot of the things, many of the things which our Lord Jesus Christ intends his body to have. That he purchased for his body. That he provided on behalf. Come on. Remember what Jesus said? It's important to remember what he said. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you bereft of everything that a parent brings to you. So, cruciate versus battleship. See, it's all a matter of perspective. Remember that word? We've been using it a lot over the last few years, perspective. And this, I came up with this morning, just as I was meditating this afresh this morning. Your perspective determines your attitude. Your perspective determines your attitude. Remember, as you mature, as you grow up, your perspective changes on things, doesn't it? I came across something pretty neat yesterday. I probably won't try to remember it now. There was a wee kind of picture and it showed you a cowboy with his wee boy walking along beside him with both their hats and their lassos and the son is praying, you know, oh God, make me a man like my daddy. And the father's praying, God, make me a man like my son thinks I am. I thought, yes, that's pretty good. As you mature, as you grow up, your perspective changes, and as a result of your perspective changing, your attitude changes.
It does.
Look at this, a couple of months ago, maybe your toys become tools, a few months ago probably. You put down the toy box, and you pick up the toolbox. I mean, when you were a child, your father's toolbox was just full of toys. Yeah. That hammer and so on, for making it was a toy. Very destructive toy sometimes.
Excellent.
So before we go any further, let's get something else for you this morning. I don't want you to miss the point here. God wants to bless us.
Yeah.
He's our Father, and I tell you, He wants to bless us. That's without question, and it's not up for debate. Let's just remind ourselves of some of the things He wants to bless us with, some of the foundation, some of the things that are foundational within this local church that God has blessed us with apostolically. I believe He's laid these foundations for us. He wants to bless us with a sin-resistant heart, with a sickness-resistant body, with an oppression-resistant mind, with recession-resistant finances, with a divorce-resistant marriage, with strife-resistant relationships, and a division-resistant church. Wouldn't that be something? And ultimately, a death-resistant life. Now, that's not to say that we may never leave this world behind and be promoted to glory. Glory's waiting room. But it is that we will never leave this world until we have fully accomplished everything that is in our destiny to fulfill. Until we have fully met all of our kingdom responsibilities in regard to family and church and community. Somebody help me. Until we're fully satisfied. I read it this morning in Genesis. Jacob goes back and he meets Isaac just before Isaac goes off into the glories, and it says he's in fullness of years. I can't remember exactly how he puts it, but he's an old man and he's satisfied with the length of his life and he's ready to go. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. That's just the way it should be. Unless Jesus comes back for them. Unless this gospel gets fully preached everywhere, and then the end will come. We should be always be working towards that. being that generation that accomplishes and fulfills everything that we've been commissioned with. As we come on. So we're fully satisfied with a long and a fruitful and a productive life that leaves a legacy and an inheritance to our children's children.
Amen.
Somebody.
Yeah.
We're not batting down the hatches getting ready to leave. No, we're still working. We're still looking out there. We're still believing the glory to God. Come on, somebody. We ain't leaving here till we've done everything that we were commissioned to do. And if we have to go before it's finished, then we will make sure that we leave a legacy and an inheritance for our children's children. So the difference between the pastoral and the apostolic perspective, the difference between the cruise ship and the battleship perspective is actually how we perceive the blessings we receive. And how we best invest these blessings in the advancement of God's kingdom on the earth so that all people everywhere are released from the tyranny of the curse and restored to the fullness of the blessing. And here's some of these things. A cruise ship provides a temporary distraction. Remember, what we're talking about the cruise ship? What's the analogy here? The pastoral ministry is the cruise ship. Have we got that?
Yes.
The apostolic ministry is the battleship. A cruise ship provides a temporary distraction from the stuff of life that pulls and presses on us every day. So you get an hour of relief. Or 2 hours in this church. 3 on a good day. A battleship empowers us not by giving us and providing us with a temporary distraction, but empowers us to bring permanent destruction to the adversarial forces that oppose our progress in advancing the kingdom. Somebody help me. Jesus did not come to provide a temporary distraction for his followers. He didn't say, come on guys, I'm inviting you on an all-inclusive cruise package, and at the end of this, I'm going to announce to you, sorry guys, holiday's over, and if you've heard this phrase before, I've heard it used many times, it's back to old clothes and porridge. That's not what he said before he left.
No.
Is that what he said before he left?
No.
Sorry guys, cruise is over. You're on your own now. Is that already brought that word? Just go back to the fishing. The days of free lunches are over. The days of coming down to the restaurant and helping yourself to the buffet are over. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
And so at the end of his time on earth, Jesus turned to his followers, those that he had come to introduce to the Father, those that he had come to inform that they too could be sons of God, and he told them, you're here to continue what I began. And destroying the works of the enemy. When you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, just like he came on me. And the works that I did, you will continue these works. And even greater works than these, you will do. Now that blew a hole in your religion. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he said, you'll do the same as I did. You'll go about doing good just like I did. You'll go about bringing healing to all who are oppressed with the devil just like I've been doing. You will go out and preach the good news of the kingdom just like I have started. And you will heal the sick, and you will raise the dead, and you will cleanse the lepers, and you will cast out demons. Come on, somebody. Because he hadn't invited them onto a cruise. He'd invited them to be trained up to crew a battleship. And in apostolically built churches, the pastoral ministry is trained apostolically. It has a battleship perspective rather than a cruise ship perspective. Same with the prophetic ministry, the evangelistic ministry, and the teaching ministry. They're all trained up apostolically, and they all have an apostolic perspective, a battleship perspective. Apparently, the term battleship isn't really used much anymore. And modern warships apparently have divided into 7 main categories, which are aircraft carriers, cruisers, destroyers, frigates, corvettes, submarines, and amphibious assault ships. And even included within these categories, there are subcategories, other vessels such as hospital ships and minesweepers. And my father served in a minesweeper during World War II. I know Ali's dad was in the Navy, wasn't he? lots of men from these islands served in the Navy. But the term battleship is now most commonly applied to a destroyer. Well, that's right, that thought. Yes.
Wow.
That'll fit. That fits our analogy pretty good. See, the Word of God says this, that as He is, so are we in this world. That's a spiritual reality, but if people choose, you need to hear this, if people choose to live from the inadequate resources of their soul, it can become as the world is, so are we. Instead of the church allowing the Holy Spirit to raise up His standard, the church follows the world and adopts its standard. This is happening. Unless you're blind, you can see that. Major denominations, that's what they're doing. And so I was considering how the church could have moved from battleship mode to cruise ship mode. So we were talking about this a few days ago. This is the answer I came up with. In 100 short years, the culture has shifted from an attitude of sacrifice. Think what was happening at the time of World War One. Young boys, young men were signing up at 14, 15. Take me, I want to go. I want to go and serve king and country. And so the attitude has moved and shifted from an attitude of sacrifice to an attitude of entitlement. Because that's what's alive and kicking out there in our modern society. In 100 short years, you know what? The church has followed right along.
Yeah, that's true.
The church is chock-a-block with an attitude of entitlement.
Yeah. Yes.
Some people would say, you know, that the attitude of sacrifice, the first person I shared this with, I tested it on somebody, not from this church, a few days ago, and when they couldn't really swallow it, to be honest. Because, and I can understand where they're coming from, don't get me wrong. Some people would say that the attitude of sacrifice that was displayed at the time of the First World War was wrong. And so I took, that's what they said, you know, remember, they were really being exploited. So I took that away, I didn't argue, I just took it away, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, what they're saying is there's a lot of truth in what they're saying. So I went back to the Lord, help me with this, help me to adjust this. And this is what I came up with, was that, in fact, what was happening was the exploitation of that attitude of sacrifice was wrong.
Yes.
But the attitude of sacrifice wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
It was the exploitation of that attitude that was wrong. You apply that to a lot of things that's going on out there today. It'll help you to navigate. There's a good naval word. To navigate your way through some of the minefield that's out there right now. When I said this, I think a couple of weeks ago, but I'm a great believer. I've said it over the years. I'm a great believer in balance and everything. But I tell you what, I've seen the pendulum swing way too far too many times.
Yes.
When people try to redress an imbalance.
Yes.
See, the pastorally built church has followed the world and moved from the appeal that was made to us by Paul, an apostle, when he called to us in Romans chapter 12 to lay down our lives as living sacrifice. As living what? Sacrifices. To adopt an attitude of sacrifice. The pastorally built church has followed the world and it's adopted an attitude of entitlement.
Yes.
And that attitude of entitlement, I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear this good, because it's in the church. It cancels out personal responsibility.
Yes.
It creates a culture of blame shifting when things inevitably don't turn out according to the unrealistic expectation that's created by an attitude of entitlement. Try to move this thing forward fast. You understand that? Don't you? So you need to go back and listen to this again. I encourage you, listen to this again. Listen to it with a notebook. Then go meditate on some of these things. Don't you have any bite-sized pieces and throw them at you? So you can chew on them, so you can meditate on them, you can get a lot more out of them. Hallelujah. See, when you invite people to come on a cruise, and then they discover it's on a battleship, you're going to get complaints. I got one of my wee inspirational crackers. I have to share it with you, and you'll probably end up with mutiny on the Bounty, and it will be led by a Christian. So if you know your literature or your movies, you might have caught a bonus there. Here's some more things. Cruise ship versus battleship. Cruise ship builds a memory. Battleship builds our future.
Yeah, that's good.
The cruise ship is about being served, and it's all about the quality of service that you receive. Battleship is about serving, and it's all about the quality of service that you give. When you have a cruise ship perspective, it's all about the quality of service that you receive. No, when you have a battleship perspective, you realize it's all about the quality of service that you get. Do all things as unto the Lord. When you go to work on a Monday morning, make sure you're working in there as you would for the Lord. And I'll tell you, people will begin to pick up on your attitude. And I will tell you, you will be rewarded for that attitude. You want to receive favor in the workplace? You do everything that you do there as unto the Lord, and it won't be long before people begin to pick up on what you mean. You go in there with that sense of entitlement. I tell you, when it comes to shaving people off, you'll be on the list. Because employers, if they know anything, they know they can't really work much with people like that. They can't get what they need out of people like that. I'm not talking about being exploited. I'm talking about a cruise ship is about relaxation. A battleship is about readiness. A cruise ship softens you up. A battleship softens you up. Cruise ships are built to impress you with their luxury. Battleships are built for function and for mission. Cruise ships, they compete with other cruise ships that are engaged in the same business. In the same sector. They try and create the most comfortable accommodation. Remember the analogy here? We're not P&O'ing it here this morning. Come on. Cruise ships compete with others who are engaged in the same business and in the same sector by trying to create the most comfortable accommodation, providing the best entertainment. In order to make converts to their company's brand, so that you will keep coming back to them. Battleships work together. They share their resources with those that they recognize are on the same side. With those that they recognize are engaged in the same. Oh yeah, I can feel the Holy Spirit. Whoa! I might just fall down here, amen. Glory to God. Just give them some glory.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Said battleships. Battleships, they work together. They share their resources. The those that they recognize are on the same side. Those that they recognize are engaged in the same business. But they're there together in order to defeat and destroy a common enemy. They make disciples that go out and establish new companies. You know what I said earlier? Apostles are fathers. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. He says that you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. It's Father's Day today, folks. This is a day for sons and daughters to bless their fathers. Let's bless our Heavenly Father today by embracing our destiny as destroyers of the works of the enemy. Let's embrace our destiny as an apostolically built church that invites people to enlist as crew on a battleship. Not inviting them on a cruise ship. No. And don't get me wrong here. If I know anything about my Heavenly Father, I know how He's able to bless you with surprises that just blow your mind, that give you opportunities to take time aside and be refreshed. He knows how to do that. Jesus said, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You get on board with His agenda, you will discover, glory to God, He has got lots of things that He wants to add to you. He ain't no hard taskmaster. Guarantee you for that. Let's bless our Heavenly Father by embracing our destiny as destroyers of the works of the enemy. Let's embrace our destiny as an apostolically built church that invites people, not on a cruise, but as crew on a battleship. People who are more focused on bringing heaven to people than sending people to heaven. I was there in the morning during the worship. It was that time when it was kind of quiet. And I could sense in my spirit, I said, someone's got a prophetic prayer out there. And I was speaking it quietly. Not shouting, I was speaking it quietly. I said, Lord, I said, bring it forth. And then a prophetic prayer came. Mm. And it was just about what we're saying here right here. Mm. Somebody else. Yeah. Think back. Were you listening?
Yeah.
People who are more focused on bringing heaven to people than sending people to heaven. People who are more focused on serving than being served.
Yes. Mm.
People who are more focused on commitment than comfort.
Yes. Mm.
Who are more focused on saving the lost than satisfying lust.
Mm.
Take that home with you. Who are more focused on healing the sick than helping themselves.
Yes.
Who are more focused on advancing the kingdom than pursuing selfish ambition and personal agenda. Someone, somewhere.
Mm.
Who are more focused on a readiness to preach the gospel. You know, as Paul said, that's part of your armour.
Yes.
That's when you put the old gospel shoes on.
Yes.
That readiness to share the gospel. People who are more focused on the readiness to preach the gospel than on relaxation.
Yes.
Those who are more focused on redeeming the time than on leisure time.
Yes.
Who are more focused on finding a place to lift up the name of Jesus than on finding a place to put their feet up.
Yes.
Who are more focused on entering the holiest than on entertainment. That's his invitation. Come on in. Come on in. Don't sit there and let someone else do it and entertain you with it. No, come on in. The apostolic versus the pastoral. Let's get an order right this morning. The battleship versus the cruise ship. Sons of God are manifested to destroy the works of the devil. You know you're part of an apostolically built church when the emphasis is less on getting you to heaven and more on bringing heaven to the earth. You hear what I said this morning?
Yeah.
Really done. A couple of minutes will be done. I thought of something else and I didn't check this out, but it's in my head that this is right. You'll generally find that there's a lot more passengers on a cruise ship than there are crew on a battleship. In the same way, apostolically built churches are more likely to have less people. But more of the people that they have will be actively involved in ministry. More of the people that they have will be, they'll be more likely to participate in meetings. They'll be more actively engaged with people in the workplace. People in the workplace will not be of two minds as to where they stand in regard to certain things. They will not be of two minds as to what their allegiance is or where their allegiance lies. Whose side they are on? Who is on the Lord's side? I love it when Joshua said, when he recognized, he saw that, what he said, whose side are you on? I tell you, God's on his own side.
Yeah.
You need to get on his side. Don't try to get him onto your side, you need to get on his side. I'll tell you something else about apostolically built churches. People are more likely to get offended at an apostolically built church. But I'll tell you something else, they will be better trained and equipped to deal with offense if they'll stick around. The enemy is continually launching offenses against us. Offensives. Jesus said it's impossible that offenses will not come at you. What are you going to do with it? You're going to learn how to deal with it. You might not learn how to deal with it in a pastorally built church, but you'll learn how to deal with it. Pastorally built church, bring all your offenses in here. There. Oh, cry. Oh, did they say that? Oh, cry. But not the apostolic culture. It'll help you how you deal with your offence.
Right.
If you let offence fester in your life, it's going to kill you. And one thing the Apostolic Church knows it's equipped to do is equip you with life, not with death.
Yes. Amen.
That's why in the Apostolic Built Church, there's a lot of folks that quit during basic training. Because the first taste of an apostolically built church can be a shock to the system, just like these guys who dream all their lives, I'm going to be in the Navy, I'm going to be in the Army, I'm going to be the Army. If they get there, 3 weeks later, they're screaming for their mammy. Let me out here! I want to run home to mother smother. They get through the door, they crawl through the door, and they say, mammy, smother me! Smother me! I'd find that church down the road. This is what they were talking about. Going out there, doing this and that. Oh, come on back and we'll smother you. An apostolically built church is about preparing and equipping people to deal with the continual offences that wicked enemy will continually launches against us as we advance into his territory. Because he knows that we are there to destroy his works.
Yes.
Let's stand up together. Let's take a few minutes to bless our Father. How do you bless your Father? Well, Jesus said you bless your Father by worshipping in spirit and in truth. See, you know there's only one letter between worship and worship.
Yeah.
Our worship is armed with worship. You want to know what our end game is for the end times? It's worship.
Absolutely.
Worship in spirit and in truth. Let's take a few minutes just to respond to him this morning. It's Father's Day. Let's bless him this morning. Let's bless him today with worship. Let that worship flow. Has he brought some correction today? Well, worship him. Thank him that he didn't leave you with a faulty mindset, that he restored his heart and his purpose, that he brought you back into realignment with his kingdom purpose for your life. Next time we'll look at apostolic strategy. Wouldn't that be fun? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. End games for the end times. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you again for your incredible goodness. I want to thank you, Lord, you never left us, abandoned us as orphans. But Lord, the spirit of fatherhood is alive in the church. Hallelujah. You've released to us, Father God. You're everything that we would ever need for every step that we take. For every move that we make, Father, you're right there with us. Empowering us, equipping us, blessing us, arming us. Hallelujah. Not smothering us, but mothering us. Not gathering us, but fathering us. Hallelujah. Equipping us and releasing us to fulfill our purpose. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that word that I brought before this word this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord, it created a launch pad for us, Lord. Thank you for the worship that we were in. Thank you for everything you were doing through every part of your body. As we all entered in corporately, Father, to release something that would be a blessing to you. Help us again as we just come this morning, Lord, and launch out into this week. That we'd launch out, Lord, as battleships. Hallelujah. Destroyers of the works of the enemy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.